Our text for this morning's sermon is, as I already mentioned, the fourth fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is patience, as that's recorded in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. And after we have listened to God's word, let us sing in response Psalm 145, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Beloved brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, there are many sayings that sound like they are from the Bible, but are actually quite unbiblical. One well-known one might be, cleanliness is next to godliness. The Bible never says that. We are commanded not to be lazy, but we also must be careful that we don't hold such impossible standards of cleanliness that we miss opportunities for hospitality and brotherly love. But probably the worst, and certainly much worse, biblical sounding saying is, God helps those who help themselves. That's actually Pharisaism masquerading as Christianity. It's unbiblical. And it will lead you away from the gospel and away from Jesus Christ. God helps us because we cannot help ourselves. But one saying that is not in the Bible, but could be, is patience is a virtue. And that, if that was true when you were younger, perhaps you remember your mother or father saying that to you, it's even more true now. We live in an incredibly impatient age. And many of us are not naturally very patient. But patience is a command in Scripture. And it is a fruit of the Spirit. And so we are all commanded to be patient, to practice patience. At this time in our society, more than ever. And the main way that we practice patience is towards one another. But the best way for us to learn how to be patient is by meditating on the patience that God has for us. And so those two things are what we're mainly focusing on this morning. We'll see the fruit of the Spirit is patience, and we'll see first of all God's patience, and then secondly, our patience. And when we look at God's patience, we'll look at two things. We'll see God's patience towards His people, and God's patience towards the wicked. So what does patience mean to you? How would you define the word? I'd probably answer something like delayed gratification. Or patience is the ability to wait for something. Or to wait for something to happen. And to wait calmly. Rather than trying to force it to happen on your schedule. Or to be annoyed at when something is delayed. And that's certainly part of it. But that's not what patience means from God's perspective. Because God never really has to wait for anything. God is the one in control of everything. We are forced to wait for things to happen because we're not in control. A boy or a girl who wants to be old enough to do the exciting things that their siblings are allowed to do. A young person that can't wait to move out of their parents' home and live their own life. A young adult waiting for a loving Christian person to marry. A childless couple waiting for a child. We can't force these things to happen on our schedule. And we can't change the future, and so we have to wait. And so patience, we assume, means to wait calmly, rather than being anxious or impatient or frustrated. But that's not how God works, because God is in control. Everything happens exactly as God says, and when God says so. And so why then does God need patience? Well, if you look through your Bible and you look at all the times that it talks about God's patience, you'll very quickly notice that there is one theme that comes back over and over again whenever God's patience is mentioned, and that is our sins. God needs patience because of the sins of human beings. Patience is used multiple times in the Old Testament to translate that God is slow to anger. God is a patient God. That means that He is slow to anger when it comes to human sin. Because God is patient, He doesn't immediately react in wrath to our wickedness, rebellion, and sin. And God is especially slow to anger towards us, towards His faithful people. We sang of that from Psalm 86. But you, O Lord, are a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger. That's patience. Abounding in love and faithfulness. Turn to me and have mercy on me. And we read of that also from the parable in Matthew chapter 18. In this parable, Jesus describes a king, and that king is representing God. And the king has a servant who owes him 10,000 talents, and that's millions of dollars. As a servant who doesn't really earn an income, it would be literally impossible to pay off a debt worth millions of dollars. And so that basically infinite debt of this servant to his master represents our debt that we have before God because of our sin. Is that how it feels like to you? That you have an infinite, unpayable debt before God? If we're honest, I think sometimes we feel more like the rich young man in the next chapter, Matthew 19, who, after listing all the commandments, do not steal, do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not covet, says, all these commandments I have kept from my youth. But Scripture teaches that no, we are the servant. We have an infinite debt against a eternal God. And our sins make our debt impossible to pay back. Given a trillion years, we couldn't do it. But the parable of Matthew 18 also teaches us that God's patience towards us is equally infinite. It says, the servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. And so God's patience is shown in being slow to anger against our sin. He does not punish us for that infinite debt that we have incurred against Him. Instead, He punishes our Lord Jesus Christ for it instead. How much patience does God have for you? How would you answer that question? How long does God's patience with you and your sin last? Have you ever thought, surely now I have gone too far? How can God possibly forgive me now after I have done this? Or after I have done that again for the 300th time? God's patience must have run out. I cannot believe that God would possibly forgive me now. Well, in one of the most comforting verses in the Bible, the Apostle Paul describes God's patience towards him as unlimited. Him, the persecutor of God's church. And may it comfort you anytime you are in the depths of godly sorrow over your sins, that God will have patience and forgive you. The Apostle Paul writes, here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display His unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe on Him and receive eternal life. And so Paul says, He was the worst of sinners, and God showed Him patience, unlimited patience, to forgive all of His sins of persecuting the church, murdering and torturing God's people. And he says, He Himself is just an example of God's patience that also extends to you. If you trust in Jesus Christ, God's patience towards you is also unlimited. Whatever you have done, even if, like Paul, you have persecuted the church, you've murdered God's people, God forgives you when you repent. Isn't that wonderful to know? God's mercies are new every morning. Not just some mornings. There's not a morning where finally God has had enough. No. Every morning you get a fresh start with God. He has forgiven the previous day's sins because He has patience with you. And so God, we learn, is infinitely patient towards His repentant people. But what about the wicked? What do you think? Is God ever patient towards the wicked? Well, 2 Peter 3 describes that God is patient with you. not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. And so it describes how God's patience does extend to every single person on the earth, not just His people. And that's why, despite the egregious sins of the wicked, despite their open rebellion against God, despite their great evil, their sins in this life often remain unpunished. Now the wicked, the Bible says in Romans chapter 2, they often take God's patience in not punishing their sins as weakness. It says in Romans 2, "Do you show contempt for the riches of His kindness, tolerance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness leads you towards repentance?" But you see, unlike God's patience towards His people, which is infinite, God's patience towards the wicked is not unlimited. Jesus speaks of this in the parable of the unjust judge in Luke 18. He says, "Will not God bring about justice for His chosen ones who cry out to Him day and night? Will He keep being patient toward them? I tell you, He will see that they get justice, and quickly." And so the Bible is constant in warning unbelievers and hypocrites that God's patience towards you is by no means infinite. He is patient now in not punishing your sins. He is waiting for you to turn to Him and come in repentance. But do not misunderstand that patience as weakness or not caring about your sins. There will come a day when His patience will run out, and that day will come suddenly. And you have until that day to repent, to throw yourself on your knees before God like that indebted servant with His infinite debt, and plead for God's mercy. Only we do not plead for God's mercy on the basis that, "Be patient with me and I will pay you back," because we know we could never pay God back for our sins. We plead on the basis of Jesus Christ, who has paid back everything for us. And on the basis of His sacrifice, God will forgive and have infinite patience with everyone who puts their trust in Him. And so that's God's patience towards us. And now we will see our patience. And we'll see two things. We'll see our patience towards God, and then secondly, our patience towards one another. Scripture first calls us to be patient towards God. And we need to be patient towards God because, unlike God, we do not control what happens in this life. Things do not happen when we want them to happen. And not everything goes the way that we wish it would go. And our natural reaction when things do not go according to our plan is impatience. Our impatience shows up when we get frustrated that our plans do not come off as we had planned. Or if we get anger when adversity and trouble and suffering strikes us. But we are commanded instead to be patient. James chapter 5 says, "Be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Do not grumble against each other, brothers and sisters." And so grumbling and complaining, not to mention outright anger and frustration against God, those are symptoms of impatience. And James 5 gives two examples of patience. First, the farmer who waits for the rains and for the land to yield its valuable crop, he says. Farmers know more than most that we do not control the weather. And so impatience and frustration is pointless. They just have to wait for the rain to come, or this year, for the rain to stop. And secondly, verse 10 says in James chapter 5, "As an example in the face of suffering, take the prophets you spoke in the name of the Lord." And it mentions in particular one prophet, Job. "You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy." And so patience towards God is to wait for things to happen when God has planned them to happen. As the farmer waits for the rain, so you have to wait for things to happen in your life. But patience also means that we need to persevere when trouble and suffering come. Trouble and suffering will come to all of us, one time or another. But we know, says God's word, that God is coming as judge and will be vindicated at that time, and all of our suffering and trouble will be gone. And so we can trust in God's compassion and mercy. And we have no need to be angry and frustrated and bitter when the troubles come and when life does not go according to our plan. We can be patient and trust in God's plan. But the Bible, most of all, when it speaks of our patience, is talking about our patience towards each other. We must, says God's word, be patient towards each other because God was first patient with us. God's patience, we have seen, is that He is long-suffering towards our sin. And if God's patience towards His repentant people is essentially infinite, then we must show long-suffering patience towards those who sin against us and repent. In fact, the Bible puts it even stronger. If we do not show that patience towards others, then God will not show patience towards us. And Jesus' parable describes exactly this. After his master had shown that infinite patience to him, that servant, it says, went away and comes across a fellow servant who owed him a few $1,000s. So not an insignificant debt, but nothing compared to the millions of dollars that he had just had forgiven. And he grabbed him, it says, and began to choke him and says, pay back what you owe. And significantly, he is met with the very same plea that he gave his own master. Be patient with me and I will pay you back. But he refuses to show any patience. And instead he has him thrown into prison to work off the debt. And it is because he is so impatient, having been shown such infinite patience, that his master now throws him into prison to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. And Jesus here is referencing a punishment of eternal torture because his debt is infinite. Remember? And so Jesus ends then his parable with a bang in verse 35. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from the heart. And so patience towards our fellow human beings first and most of all equals forgiveness when they sin against us. We often like to fool ourselves that we are very patient people. I'm very good at being patient as long as other people are reasonable. As long as people treat you well, you can probably be patient with them forever, right? But by definition, patience is for those who do not treat you well. When you get along with reasonable people, you're not being patient, you're just being normal. Patience, says Jesus, is to forgive those who have debts against you and come to you in repentance. Patience is to not pay others back for their wrongs. And this is made very clear whenever the word patience is used of Christians in the New Testament. To give some examples, Ephesians 4 verse 2. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. And so other people are going to do things we disagree with and we need to bear with them in love. That's patience. Colossians 3 verse 12 says, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Again, patience means to bear with each other and to forgive our grievances with each other. As Christians, we desperately need patience with one another. Because of impatience, the church will fracture and split. When we do not bear with those with whom we disagree, when we disparage or cut off from our life those who have different opinions than us, when we refuse to forgive others who we have a grievance against. With enough patience, no difference in opinion can be enough to destroy or even fracture a relationship. But with enough impatience, the smallest difference is mortal to a relationship. And so our fruit of the Spirit this morning calls us all to take a look at our lives and to ask ourselves, do I have many people with whom I am disagreeing? Am I holding grudges against those who think differently than I do? Am I bearing with those who act against me? Have I forgiven whatever grievances I have against a brother or sister? And Scripture adds, forgive as the Lord has forgiven you. Remember that the Lord's patience towards you is essentially infinite. Because after all that the Lord has done for you, you continue to sin against Him every single day. And yet, every single day He forgives you again. And so we are called to summon patience in our hearts to forgive our brother or sister. This is not an easy virtue to have, as I think you will agree. We all find some of the fruits of the Spirit easier than others. Perhaps you're very good at sacrificing for others in love, or you're very good at joy and finding the bright side of life. But even if you are, Scripture still commands us to be patient, to bear with others in love, to not hold grudges against others, a group of people, whoever. That does sometimes go on even in the church. Splits in the church, different groups against each other from things going back decades. But if you do not repent and develop patience and stop holding grudges, says Jesus, your Father in heaven will not be patient towards you. The fruit of the Spirit, none of them are optional. And this doesn't mean, if it needs to be said, that we earn our salvation by our patience and by our forgiving attitude. And if you've lived a life of impatience, if you've held grudges in your life, even up until this point, you can repent and be assured that these sins too are washed away in the river of Christ's blood. But what God does tell us is that if we are Christians, we are filled with the Holy Spirit. And if we are filled with the Holy Spirit, then we have the fruits of the Spirit, including patience. And so no Christian can say something like, none of us is perfect, and use that as an excuse for holding on to grudges and refusing to forgive. In fact, as we learn from the Lord's Prayer, patience and forgiveness are some of the most important. Because whether we are patient with others is a clear sign of whether we have received and truly grasped the Lord's patience towards us. And so, patience is a command. And patience is also necessary for the exercise of the other fruits of the Spirit as well. 1 Corinthians 13 reminds us that you can't just separate the fruits of the Spirit from each other. Because talking about love, the Holy Spirit says love is patient. Love is kind. And so if you are impatient towards others, it's not just patience that you're lacking. It's also love. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 verse 8 contrasts the patient with the proud. Patience is better than pride. Do not be quickly provoked in your spirit, for anger resides in the lap of fools. And what this teaches us is that a clear sign of impatience is anger and pride. If we are an impatient person, it's probably because we need to work on our pride. We believe that we deserve better. We deserve faster service. We deserve more obedience from our children. We deserve people to listen to us. And so we are proud, and so we act in impatience and anger and frustration towards others. But those, says Ecclesiastes, who are impatient and quick to anger are fools. Because we do not deserve any of those things. We deserve only the infinite torture of great sinners. But God has shown us infinite patience and love. And Jesus Christ humbled Himself even to death on a cross to take that punishment that we deserve. And so other Proverbs teach us that patience and being slow to anger is a sign of wisdom and maturity in the faith. A person's wisdom gives them patience. It is to your glory to overlook an offense. A hot-tempered person stirs up trouble, but a patient person calms a quarrel. And so we are called to overlook offenses. We are called even to go a step further and calm down quarrels. That's a sign of true patience. And finally, it says, through patience, a ruler can be persuaded and a gentle tongue can break a bone. And so the more we as Christians are patient and gentle with another, with one another, the more we'll be able to accomplish. And the more unity and fellowship there will be in the church. There will always be those with whom we don't get along, who have different opinions than us, or who have different interests and different personalities. That's why we need patience to bear with them in love. And the more we meditate on God's patience for us, the more patience we'll be able to have towards one another. And just like we've seen with the other virtues, the more we practice patience, the greater witness we will be to the world around us. Our society, you don't need me to tell you, is incredibly impatient. People today have no time for those with whom they disagree. They just cut them out of their life, unfriend them on social media. And the great harm of social media today is that it surrounds us with a bubble of people who all repeat the same things that we already agree with, and it demonizes anybody who thinks differently. But in the church, we can be different. We can be different people with different backgrounds, different cultures, different opinions, and not only can we get along, but we can be patient with each other and love and sacrifice for one another. And when we do this, the church will be a beacon of love in the world, reflecting God's patience towards us. It's certainly not easy to be patient with those with whom we get along. It's certainly not easy to forgive those who have wronged us. When Peter came up to Jesus and said to him, "Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times." Peter actually thought he was being generous. The church leaders of his day said that you can forgive someone up to three times, and after that, you no longer need to. But Jesus replied, not seven times, but 77 times, or as some translations have it, seven times 77, but basically unlimited. We are called to forgive our brother or sister when they sin against us. And they come to us in repentance. We forgive, no matter what. Because God has forgiven us. It's not easy. But nor was it easy for God to forgive our sins. To forgive us. He had to put all of our guilt on His beloved Son, Jesus Christ. And punish Him with eternal punishment, even though He had never done anything wrong. And so in Christ, it is our great privilege to clothe ourselves with compassion, humility, and patience. To bear with each other, to forgive whatever grievances we have against one another, forgiving as the Lord has forgiven us. Amen. Let's sing.